Present.
Here.
Yes, ma'am.
Present.
Here.
This is amazing. Now we have public comment. We have one person from the public. I don't know if we need to read her this public comment statement, but the first 15 minutes of the meeting are reserved for members of the public to address the council on items which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the council. Speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes. Speakers will be asked to identify themselves, state the subject of their comment. If the subject is an item on the agenda, the chairperson has the option of asking the speaker to hold the comment until that item is called. Comments on the items listed as public hearing on the agenda should be held until the hearing is opened. The council is prohibited by law from taking any action on matters discussed that are not on the agenda, and no adverse conclusions should be drawn if the council does not respond to public comment at this time. Any comments from the public? Seeing none, moving on to business matters. The approval of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review and read the minutes? They were kind of complicated.
I make a motion.
Second. To approve.
Minutes approved.
Me.
Take a vote.
All in
favor?
Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? Seeing none, minutes approved.
Do you have to see a motion is approved?
Motion approved.
Unanimous.
By unanimous consent. Okay. Then we're moving on to number two, review of the draft letter to the Housing Authority. Wendy Silva.
Okay, so based on your last meeting, Diana drafted up a letter, and I wanted to go over it with you to make sure that we get all the points you would like Linda to discuss with you in the letter, so that when we have her come, we can make sure that everything is covered that we're looking for. So if you can take a look at the bullet points are basically the questions we're asking her. You know, right above this is a paragraph that says, we'd love to have you come, and the one after is that says, here's how you contact Wendy Silva to schedule. So what I have currently are the following questions. How many disabled units are there in the Housing Authority's inventory, and what percentage of the total does this represent? So what percentage of the total are the disabled units? What is the process for increasing the number of disabled units in inventory, and are there any specific funding sources to pursue? How MADAC can provide support to increase the number of disabled units in inventory. Based on their existing demand, where are the deficiencies as far as type and number? So are there deficiencies in disabled, but where else as well? How long is the current wait list for disabled units, and what is the average length of time that someone then waits for one of those units before it becomes available? What parameters the Housing Authority takes into consideration if there's any preference given, or if it's completely first come, first serve on the list. And then I believe it came up, I wasn't quite sure how to ask it. You guys can probably say it more since I wasn't here. There was a discussion having to do with nonprofit agencies that may also provide housing assistance in communities. I think our new city manager was here for that discussion.
Yes.
So I don't know if I phrased this well, take a look at it. Tell me if you think we can improve it. But I have, are there any nonprofit agencies that provide housing in the city of Madera that supplement the inventory for the Housing Authority? And if not, is this something the Housing Authority plans to pursue? Or I don't even know what the process would be if it's Housing Authority or something else. I figure Linda's probably the most knowledgeable person to advise us on that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything here you feel like we missed?
Well, I think we established that there were 77 units designated as handicapped. The last time Brent was here.
So. Would you like Linda to confirm that, though?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I guess I would like to see what the significant difference is between seniors housing and disability housing. I mean, obviously, there's a few extra levels.
Okay, you're going to have to, I want to understand what you're asking so we can put it in here correctly mm-hmm. and get the right mm-hmm. answer. So when you say the difference, are you saying what makes it designated senior and what makes it designated
are those
accessible?
Are those categories separate?
Okay.
Because because there's a huge national crisis about the lack of seniors housing, and most seniors have one or more disabilities at some level as they age.
Because if you went in and made all your buildings universal design, then anybody can use them.
How's that? What is the difference between senior designated housing and disabled designated housing?
And then she probably also has some projections about meeting the need for plain old seniors housing, because I know that's a national need nationwide.
But we're not the senior advisory council or the... I understand that there are
just
disabled seniors, but not all seniors are disabled. So
right.
We just...
So how do we differentiate, or how do we get that into the thought process?
So we have deficiencies we're asking about as far as type and number. That would... we're asking for all there, not just disabled. So if there is a shortage in senior, that would be part of the answer to that question.
Okay.
What about, do we want, okay, what is the difference between senior designated housing and disabled designated housing? I don't know. You might know more. Is there a subset when Housing Authority has their units? We know that there are some that is just senior housing. Is there disabled within the senior, and how many actual disabled senior units there are? Is that a question we want to ask?
Right. Let's clarify that, because the... currently, we have 77 senior units and a subset for...
How many units are designated as both senior and disabled? Does that ask the correct question?
Or senior or? Oh, because you can be disabled and not be a senior.
Right.
And go into those, yeah.
Okay.
So this would be someone would have to meet both categories, disabled and senior.
Well, I think we do. We have young people that are disabled, so.
Right, we do ask about total disabled.
Okay.
And if we ask about disabled and senior, the rest would be the difference.
And then what do you think about involving or reaching out to a group like Habitat for Humanity? At the last city council meeting, they had a very proactive presentation for public housing, and I know that they do some senior housing and they do some disability housing. So I don't know if Arnaldo seemed to think there were other public agencies that could step in to fill this need in Madera.
So we've asked the question of Linda in this letter, you know, what other partnerships are out there, or where can we focus? Are you asking me at this point to include that to Linda, or to invite them separately at a later meeting?
I'd like to know if Linda has any other options or partnerships,
okay.
Grants.
So I've got, are there any nonprofit agencies that provide housing?
Okay, got it.
If not, is this something the Housing Authority plans to pursue?
Any other nonprofit agencies?
Like Valley of the Breezes out on Adele Street is a nonprofit partnership that established.
And then how do we maximize those contacts, and how do we...
Those were all done, I know, because I was part of the Valley of the Breezes, but that was all done through basically a public... it was a builder who loved to have the write-off with the nonprofit mixed in with the business, and with the government also was a partner. It was like a three-way partnership between Valley West as a nonprofit,
the builder.
And everybody kind of worked it out, where it's financially profitable to build one and maintain it.
And then there were also four lots, fully improved lots, that the city has identified through RDA at the last Housing Authority meeting, or that last housing meeting up by Rancho San Miguel, fully improved lots that may be available for some type of seniors or low income builder program. And Bob Wilson.
So we ask here, now here's, I guess my question is that something that
maybe
the Housing Authority typically does is bring in builders? I don't think so, is it?
Unless it's a partnership or a grant program. I don't know. I don't really understand what her full scope is, so maybe she could.
Let's just ask a generic question. What other partnership or
can we foster more partnerships like that for the city, mm-hmm. kind of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then does she do, is everything that she does Section 8 federal?
I don't know the answer to that.
That's,
we
yeah.
can ask that question.
That's where HUD comes in with their mm-hmm. vouchers.
And if there's any state money, state... yeah, and we covered that at the last meeting to see if were there any other low-income providers. How do we increase the senior disabled units? I mean, we covered all this. Occupancy rate preference.
What housing programs does the Housing Authority administer?
And if it includes state programs, or if she's just federal?
Work?
Yeah, that's
a good question. First up.
Just to make sure that we're covering all the bases and that we haven't overlooked anything, and just to kind of get the ball rolling, because this is a long planning process, and if we'd have started this 10 years ago, we might have moved ahead a little bit with it.
Okay. Anything else we think we want to ask her related to?
Anybody
to
else? Now's your chance. Cynthia?
Is this going to be a little overwhelming for her?
I don't think so. I think these are generally standard questions. I didn't have a chance to look. Do they publish an annual report?
I didn't look. I'm sure they must. No? Cece? No?
Okay. I was thinking most of these answers would be answered in something like that, but if they don't have one, then we can ask the questions.
And then just, you know, finding a way to encourage her in inform her of our perspective so that she knows it's a goal and a widely shared goal.
Well, we can we'll schedule her to come back and go through our questions. We'll stick to the topic because we'll have to agendize it that way, and then we can have a subsequent meeting where we talk about next steps and what we do going forward to see what we can reach out for.
Dennis, any ideas? Anything we've left out? You've been on this.
It seems like there's quite a lot there. I hope we're staying in our lane.
For the most part, as long as some of the information we're asking for isn't specific to the disabled, but it's background information you need to be able to ask more questions.
Yeah.
So I think we're fine there. It just depends what we do with it, obviously. We can't then suddenly start advocating for something we're not authorized to do under your bylaws.
Right.
We just have to make sure as we move forward and take steps that we're, as you say, staying in the lanes.
Suggest that we all agree on, if we all agree on this, then if we ask her to come back, she agrees to come back and address all these, that we don't add to it in the meantime.
Yeah, we need to give her the opportunity to come prepared to answer these questions.
Yeah.
We can ask follow-up questions on them, but we shouldn't at that time ask for new information that we didn't request here. This is kind of
right.
our opportunity to say, here's
right.
what we want you to be ready to speak to.
Right.
So that's why if there's anything else you can think of,
yep. Tim?
Now's the time to add it.
Anything else?
I like it.
Dana?
I'm good, yeah.
Everybody good? Mr. Lateef?
I think it's information that she, I don't think
yep.
she'll have a hard time.
Yeah,
she should
knows,
have a hard time.
She knows the answers to all this in and out, so.
Okay, we'll get that printed up and over to her.
Includes business item 2. Do we need to make a motion or approve that?
On the letter? No, direction.
Okay.
Direction is fine.
Okay, and that brings us to number 3, nomination and election of chair. But I have a question before we do that.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have some clarity on bylaws or how these council nominations actually work? Because we asked a couple months ago, and when Dana was asked about being unappointed by if his council member left or was not reelected. So there's some confusion, and I guess Mr. Hawley has elected to make an appointment, which is going to remove somebody if Mr. Hawley proceeds with his election or appointment.
Well, Mr. Hawley is appointing for his district, and so that would replace you, but Mr. Montes is moving to appoint you, and I'm trying to remember who is Mr. It would replace Dana.
Right.
So
that was because of the election.
Basically, I stay on until Mr. Hawley makes his appointment.
We only have seven spaces.
No, you are serving representing the district that now Councilmember Montes represents. So when Mr. Montes appoints DJ and it's on consideration on Wednesday night's agenda, then you would no longer be serving. And then in the case of Dennis, Dennis is representing the same district that Councilmember Garcia has been elected to, but he has not yet chosen someone, and I just spoke with him Friday. So Dennis continues to serve until a new appointment is made, which is why Cynthia is still here, because she's never actually been appointed
right.
by Jose,
right.
but she will be tomorrow night. So there is some musical chairs going on because the council member that appointed you is changing, but you'll remain on. However, the seat that Dane is currently sitting in is the, not physical chair, but just the seat for that district is the seat that you'll be representing.
Right.
And Dana could be reappointed by another.
By a different council member.
Different
the only
council.
Vacancy we'll have that doesn't have an appointment currently after tomorrow night, if it's approved, would be the seat that Dennis is currently serving to fill.
Okay. So these aren't four-year terms?
They can be. The 4 years is a term limit, if that makes sense. It's how the city attorney described it to me.
Do we have, this wasn't clarified anywhere initially. You know, I thought the term was a four-year appointment, so maybe we need to amend the bylaws or the rules to say serving at the pleasure of a
the bylaws member. Don't prevent the council member from changing their mind.
Okay. Well, it'd probably be nice if people knew that, because I was a little bit surprised, to say the least. And I also thought that the term for chair was an election for a period of one year. So if that's now being affected by being unappointed.
No, the bylaws say that the chair is supposed to be elected in January. I think last year we forgot to do it in January. We didn't meet. There was something, and so it happened later in the year. But
meet.
The bylaws say it happens every year in January.
January, so. Okay, so if we could just clarify those things so nobody gets blindsided, so to speak.
Yeah, so the bylaws do say that the election for chair and vice chair occur in January. And then there is nothing that, like I said, keeps a council member from changing. Obviously, they have to take action. They have to take an action to the city council to appoint somebody different. But there's nothing that prevents them from changing their mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't even remember when my chairship was elected, like 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, I think it was July.
And that was because Dennis stepped down. How did that work?
Dennis didn't go up for re-election. And that was last time, right?
That wasn't last January.
I didn't look back to see when we did it.
Okay.
All right.
That was we did it last year, right?
Yeah, it's done every year. I know we didn't do it. I feel like we didn't do it in January.
No, we didn't. We did it later.
And I don't know if it was because, like I said, because we didn't meet. And then there was a point in time where we wanted to make sure everybody was there, so we delayed it another meeting.
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember that one.
Well, should this be held until the appointments are finalized for tomorrow night? So should this be basically?
Well, there's only one
and then
seat change.
Where does Ms. Robbins fit in? Donald's appointment.
She will be an appointee to Madera ADA Advisory Council.
Yeah, but maybe she wants to run for chair.
No, I mean who's
seat? Mine.
Whoever it is.
No, it's you're shifting. And she's not physical chairs. You're shifting which district
right,
you're representing.
Yeah,
and
sure.
She would then represent the district for Councilmember Hawley.
Right. Yep. Okay. But that still gives us.
I would step away.
Okay. Because I think we've historically had a problem keeping active and engaged membership on this council. And I'd hate to lose Dana because of his expertise and historic.
I just like Dana.
Well, there's only seven spots.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, so, you know, this is.
I know it's not fun. But sometimes things change.
Politics suck.
I just think since we've chaired or tabled it before last year, why don't we table it till next meeting to vote for chair and vice chair? I mean, we're all here. Why don't we, unless you guys want to, this is what I'm thinking. We're going to get one new member next month and possibly lose one. There will be different people here. So the dynamic.
I hate to say, though, I don't know who the person is coming in, and that's kind of new to me. But even if it was a new person, I don't know if I'd want them to. I doubt, and I speak for myself, I don't think they would be a good chair or a vice chair as we speak either. My first year, I don't think I said anything in the first meetings that I came to. You kind of got to get to know the rhythm of the thing and understand what's going on.
That's true. I hate to speak. I understand. I guess I wasn't aware. Councilman Garcia has yet to make a pick, and Councilman Garcia will be making a pick. And so,
when he finds someone, I mean, if you're interested in continuing to serve, you can absolutely reach out to him and let him know that. I can give you his contact information.
Okay. And that's me.
That's you.
Okay. When I was brought on the board, it was the council members served at large.
Yeah, that was years and years ago.
There wasn't districts, correct? So I was assigned to his.
When we went to districts,
at some point,
each council member basically at that point, and we redid the bylaws because we used to be five and now we're seven.
That's why Mr. Rigby told me one time that he was the one that picked me.
Yeah, they each basically took.
No, you didn't. Brett Frazier did. He goes, no, I picked you. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, over time you've been appointed by someone else.
It's taken me 2 years to figure that out. Now I understand why Mr. Rigby thought that he was the one that picked me.
You were representing his district,
I didn't know that he did. Okay, very good. I would like to say that I serve on this board to make a difference in the community. And I hate to see politics or personal misunderstandings get in the way of what the board is here to do. If you want to give me Councilman Garcia's contact information, I would gladly reach out to him and tell him that if he would like me to serve, I would gladly will. If he has someone else he feels better about, then I would be perfectly fine with that as well. So after the meeting, if you could get me his contact information, I'll reach out to him.
And I'd like to say that we would hate to lose you. And thank you for all your past representation and guidance. So that would be my sincere.
Like I said, I just
that includes you.
Try to make a difference in the community, because I've always said that if you're not doing something to help the community, then if you're not an asset to the community, then you're a liability. So, all
right.
And I'd rather be an asset than a liability.
Okay. So, do we get to talk about?
So, I would think that we would probably want to vote someone here that is expected to stay as
chair and vice chair.
Chair and vice chair, because.
Well, if we were to hold the election, and let's just say if it were you, if you were the chairman again, and then Councilmember Garcia made a different appointment, we would hold another election at that time.
Well,
actually, vice chair, we would.
I would.
Give the option move up, and then
myself, I would decline. So,
you've
one
served.
Of us that we know is still going to be here wants it. Then okay. I think, because we wouldn't want a new person to come in here and. Here's your first meeting, and here's the gavel.
All right.
And I'm still having trouble reading the high points.
So do we need to make a motion to do the election, or?
Well, if there's interest in delaying it, that would need to be done by motion to table it to the next meeting. if we're not going to delay it, then we'll hold the election for chair. And if we have to hold it again because there's been a change in one of the persons that was elected, then we hold it at that time. But the bylaws do state that the election is supposed to happen in January.
Do we have a motion?
Hold the election.
It should to be election. No.
Sorry?
I said it should to be election. No.
Do you want to move forward with the election or table the election for next month?
No, to move forward.
Everybody, move forward.
Okay, I'm seeing a consensus to move forward. So,
okay.
That said, I will open nominations for the chairperson for the 2019 calendar year.
I make a nomination that DJ Becker be chair.
Okay.
I also.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
Hang on. Okay, so we have a nomination of DJ Becker. DJ, do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Okay. Are there any additional nominations at this time?
I nominate Tim Richey.
Okay, we have a nomination of Tim Richey. Do you accept the nomination?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, are there any additional nominations for chairperson? Once, twice. Okay, I'm going to close the nominations for chair. We will do this by majority of the vote, and so we're going to vote. I will ask for a show of hands so I don't have to try to follow the voices for DJ Becker, and then a show of hands for Tim Richey, and it will be whichever has the majority of those present.
It's like Survivor. Can we vote for ourselves? Or
you can vote for yourself, or you can choose to vote for the other person as well. There will be no snuffing of
candles
torches,
or flames.
Though.
The torch.
Okay, so all those in favor of DJ Becker serving as chair, please raise your hand. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. Those in favor for Tim Richey? 1, 2. Dennis, are you abstaining?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. All right, so DJ Becker is the chairperson going forward.
Congratulations,
DJ.
Thank you. And then we are proceeding to the nomination and election of vice chair.
Vice chair.
I make a nomination of Tim Richey as vice chair.
Okay, so I've opened the nomination.
I
have a nomination of Tim Richey.
Tim Richey.
I accept.
You accept, okay. Does anyone else have another nomination for vice chair? Okay, hearing none.
So I can say it's unanimous.
There we go. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed? There you go, unanimous.
All right.
Congratulations. Madam chairperson and Mr. Vice Chair.
Okay, moving on to oral reports, number 5.
I'd like to take just a quick report. I did reach out to the police department, and they will be at your February meeting. Lieutenant Foss will be here to talk with you about the accessible parking enforcement.
Okay.
We talked about, at the last meeting, we talked about doing the same thing with the police department that we did with the housing authority and give them a list of questions and concerns so that they wouldn't come in here and...
Okay, so we can do two things. I can have them come next time to talk about the accessible parking, and then we can also have a separate discussion where we decide what we would like addressed, and then they can send the best person back to address that. Or we can delay them coming and at the February meeting discuss what you want them. Sorry, I was going off what was in the minute, so I was trying to make that happen. And then they would come back at a subsequent meeting. So do you want them to come at this time to talk about the accessible parking enforcement, and then we can have them come back for whatever other topics we want to talk about?
We should just have them come back for just one time. So.
Well, it could be a different, could be that they send somebody different to address the questions. For my edification, what are they like related to? If it's not the accessible parking, what is it?
What's the enforcement of the parking spaces?
That's what they're going to come talk about.
Right, because that was postponed pursuant to Measure K funding, so now they should have a little bit more money. I mean, that was my recollection of that discussion.
Okay, so if it's related to the accessible parking, that's what I've asked them to come and talk about at your February meeting.
Specifically enforcement.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. Okay.
Was there anything else? No? Okay.
From the police. I guess maybe the statistics, the things that we had spoken about in the last
meeting. Yeah, I took, basically I copied the section of your minutes from the last meeting and I put it in an email to the chief.
Okay. And then DMV is also an ancillary enforcer of handicap parking.
They are, and I know PD's coordinated with them. When I've talked to the DMV before, they don't necessarily do it at your request, but we're on their radar since we've talked with them.
Do we have a way of finding out how many handicapped parking spaces we have in Madera? Would that be building department?
No, because a lot of the inventory is going to be on private property.
Okay. So we don't know if there's any way to know if we have enough.
You'd have to ride around.
No, and enough is defined by each location.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, Cynthia, you had a question about the spaces at Walmart being up to standard.
Oh, yeah, you know, they redid the parking lot at Walmart, and they, I don't know if they necessarily put in new spaces, but
They did.
They don't seem to be in compliant as far as that striped area. It's like 3 feet, and it's supposed to be like 8 feet.
Is it striped area for the unloading zone for van accessible parking, or is it striped area for path of travel?
Well, they use it for both. It's for the first one you said.
The van accessible?
Van accessible. Those
let
are
me,
supposed
let feet. Me see if I can ask.
Okay.
They made significant.
It's still a construction zone, though. I was talking to a guy, and there's still a construction zone.
Yeah.
So all those areas are going to be shifted over because they're putting in the electric vehicle, I think, as well, and all that stuff's got to go in. So they'll be shifting those spots. Some of those spots will become EV spots, and then other spots will become handicapped spots once that big container's gone, they told me.
Well, so I went over at Cynthia's request and surveyed the situation, and it appears that some of the spaces have lines.
Okay, well, I can go ask the question. We just can't discuss it now because it's not agendized.
Okay. Got it. And let's see. All right. Manny?
Now that the election's over and we're at a place, even though I know that the postmaster's gone, I will begin pursuing the post office with a little more aggression, I should say. I think it's worth having a Facebook page that points out the fact that our post office isn't handicap accessible. And then I'll follow up with Councilman Cece, and I have talked about it before, about getting, you know, Washington involved a little bit and our representatives involved in it and just asking those questions about it. So that's kind of where we're at with it.
I want to try. I've done some more research, and because of when our post office was built, they're not subject to either the ADA, that's the Postal Service,
right,
or the Architectural Barriers Act.
Right.
Because our post office was built in the 30s, and the Architectural Barriers Act came into being in the 60s. So it's one of those we've got to try to get.
It doesn't mean they can't get
voluntary
it fixed.
Compliance.
Right. Yeah,
so we just have to keep that in mind while we're.
Yeah. And we've given it, I feel like I've personally given enough time where there's things that should have worked out. And whoever the postmaster is right now, or whoever is going to be coming in, or whoever they move around with, we all need to make sure that person is going to become a big enough agenda item for them. So anyway, this is just my personal.
Absolutely.
There's no grandfather clause in the ADA. I can't put it under.
Yeah, but it's like a public facility where if you don't alter or improve it, a major alteration or improvement, you don't have to make the change to the building.
Like
I can't find any pictures that make it look like there was any major alterations or improvements, but I could be totally wrong.
The rear loading docks have been altered several times,
right,
expanded and remodeled several times.
The way it's written is that if
60s. That'd be the facility.
That would be where they would, if that had altered the path of travel, or if that's where they provide a customer service, they would have to make it accessible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to hope that they did a lobby remodel at some point, like a major lobby remodel.
I think we were focusing on the doors mainly.
The doors and whether or not we can use their parking lot for public parking again.
Driver's side drop-off?
Yes.
Maybe we can get some of the workers to write a complaint because They work there. It has to be accessible for the workers.
Okay. Dennis, Dana, any oral reports?
The only thing I have, since I am probably on my way out, which I would say tomorrow night will be voted on, I just want to thank all my fellow colleagues and council members for the time I've had on the council. I kind of agree with Dennis. You're here for the community. I appreciate all you guys' efforts. I know that the meeting's at 3:30, so I get to be in the crowd now to see and make oral comments as a citizen and a resident of Madera County. So I just want to say thanks both to Wendy and Diana for all your guys' hard work, because this doesn't happen unless you guys basically put forward your efforts. And good luck.
Thank you, Dana.
You'll be missed, and I hope you do continue to attend, Dana.
Yes.
I was planning on attending the TAB report or the TAB meeting tomorrow, mm-hmm. and I think Councilmember Robinson was also planning to attend, and we're planning to talk about the issue of the bus stop back at Walmart, or at least more convenient. So, Cynthia, any oral reports?
No.
Mr. Lateef, any oral reports?
No, Manny? We're good.
Seeing none, meeting adjourned at 4:08.